Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Good morning. It's the John Osterlin Morning Show. Hopefully, I hope you enjoyed your weekend. And if you're a father, a dad, I hope you enjoyed Father's Day yesterday. I hope you got all the underwear and socks that that are usually very prevalent in Father's Day presents. I hope you had a good day. Obviously, a very important role being a father. Mother and father, most important roles that we have in this country. So it was a pretty violent weekend. Over the weekend in some of the cities. Now here in New Orleans, 1 week ago, I sat here and said we didn't have the exact overnight numbers in, but it ended up being 21 people were shot in New Orleans last weekend. I don't think our city was, I don't think as many people got shot this past weekend here in New Orleans. Although, again, I will mention that the shootings on early Monday morning, like right now for the weekend here in New Orleans, we don't have the exact numbers yet. They're like the overnight ratings. It takes a little bit more time to get them in. But last weekend was real rough here in New Orleans. I don't think it was that bad. The last 2 days for Father's Day weekend. But in cities across the country, including New York City and Chicago and Seattle and Minneapolis. And again, these are cities, much like New Orleans, where there are people that want to defund the police, get rid of the police, and the shootings have been pretty brutal. I mean, I couldn't imagine here in New Orleans, I couldn't imagine defunding, downgrading the police. We are already 200 or 300 cops short, 200 to 300 cops short here in the city of New Orleans. And it's still one of the most violent places on planet Earth. And I couldn't imagine defunding or lowering the amount of police officers in one of the most violent places on planet Earth. In Chicago this weekend, I mean, people get shot in Chicago. They get shot in Chicago at an incredible rate, and yet people are still saying that we need to defund or get rid of the mayor. Or the police in Chicago. My computer now is starting to slow up, but I had all of these numbers in front of me about how many people got shot in American cities over this past weekend, and Chicago shootings, I believe it was 71 people got shot, and including the death of a 3-year-old boy and a 13-year-old girl, and majority of, actually right now the numbers are still coming in, 86 people were shot in the city of Chicago, mostly black people. But
This is Father's Day weekend.
And it was Father's Day weekend.
You'd think it'd be a celebratory weekend, you know, to celebrate all the hardworking fathers that they have out there yet.
Yeah, I've got 86 people shot in Chicago over the last couple of days, in this latest weekend. And again, last weekend was almost as many were shot. And this happens all the time, and it happens pretty much in one neighborhood in the south side of Chicago. And again, these are mostly black people who are getting shot, but you don't see a damn thing about it on the national media.
I wonder how many how many of the shootings, the frequency. I know Chicago, that's no one numbers, but I wonder how, like, the demoralization of the police after they realized what they were going to charge the Atlanta cop with, and how many policemen were just like, you know what, if we're not going to be supported, we're just going to call in sick, we're not going to do our jobs. I think we're starting to see the effect of that, where the police are like, you know what, I'm afraid to do what we want to do.
I think you're seeing a little bit of that, Coleman, but when it comes to Chicago, no, the huge numbers of people get shot in the south side of Chicago. It's a killing zone. It's a shooting zone. It's incredible. I mean, think about it. 86 people were shot this weekend in the south side of Chicago. And do you see anything on CNN, or do you see anything on any national? I got this number looking at a local paper there, the Chicago Sun-Times. So it's just pretty sad. And the fact that they want to get rid of cops, how many more shootings are there going to be? And there has been now a couple of different shootings inside the CHOP zone in Seattle. And the only thing cops go there for are the really serious crimes like shootings. But other than that, the cops aren't really let in. I mean, it's absurd. It's ridiculous. And I don't think... And we're seeing shootings in Manhattan and New York City, the numbers of them like we've never seen before. And this is because I think in New York, the cops are frustrated because they don't feel like they're getting a lot of support there. So
that's what you said, Ethan, boggles my mind when it comes to the chat in Seattle, saying the cops had to be let in. You know, like who wields the power of the door there? Like these hippies, you know, say they have the power and the manpower and the firepower to let cops not come in. Like that's how brutal they are out there.
I'll say this again, and you're going to see it more and more. The numbers of these shootings. Look, I wish every police officer was perfect. And what happened in Minneapolis, Minnesota with George Floyd, that cop is going to get his own. One of the other cops tried going grocery shopping over the weekend, and people recognized him. Coming up on the show, he didn't have a good encounter at all. But you got to realize something. Most cops, and I've said this before, I'll say it again. In every line of work, there's some bad apples, and I wish there were zero. There were none in police officers, but there are anywhere from 350 to 400 to 500 million encounters with American police officers and people each and every year. And the number of unarmed men, people shot by police officers is so low. It's not even 1%. It's not even half of 1%. It's not even a quarter of 1%. It's literally 0.0001%. But every time something happens like that, we see it. The CNN, the national news, they go crazy when the amount of instances like that is so small statistically, it's crazy. The majority of cops are good. They do good work. They put their lives on the line for you and me. But boy, oh boy, right now they are under the gun. And it is not a good time to be a police officer anywhere. And we'll see, Coleman, if this continues. I mean, 86 people got shot in Chicago over the weekend, and you won't hear a damn thing about it. And I don't think the group Black Lives Matters has time to deal with that. Anyways, we have a lot of other stuff we're going to get to on the show. Hang out with us here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Good morning. It's the John Osterlund Morning Show. Hope you had a good weekend. And if you're a father, hope you enjoyed your Father's Day yesterday. If you're a mother who does double duty because there's no father in the house, I hope you enjoyed the day yesterday. Obviously, a father, the most important gig, a mother and a father, the two most important jobs out there. Hope you enjoyed the day yesterday. I saw this story, and I couldn't believe it. You know how not only police, but statues, not just in America, but all over the world, are now, they're under fire. I saw this and I couldn't believe it. In England, a Gandhi statue is in trouble. There are mounting calls to remove a couple of Gandhi statues. Mahatma Gandhi. I mean, Gandhi is known as a peaceful protester. But at least one British city has put a halt to an online campaign demanding the removal of a statue of Mahatma Gandhi. The mayor of Leicester, England, Sir Peter Soulsby, announced that, at least for now, the Gandhi statue was safe. Gandhi! I mean, talk about a peaceful guy and a very famous nonviolent protester. Some people call him a fascist, a racist, and a sexual predator. And in another city in England, Manchester, England, there's a Gandhi statue as well, and people are calling for that to be removed. So in the cities of Leicester and the city of Manchester, there are Gandhi statues that are now under fire. Gandhi!
Once again, it doesn't matter how good you do. Everybody just remember that one fact. I mean, in Gandhi, they say he had some weird sexual stuff going on. I mean, the guy walked around in a diaper, so I know he's not normal. But at the same time, look at all the good he's done.
And in New York City, a statue of Theodore Roosevelt is now being taken down because next to him, it's a big statue of Teddy Roosevelt, but next to him, on one side of them, there's a Native American, and on the other side of them, there's a black guy. And they say because those two are smaller.
So now size matters?
Well, I'm telling you, everything as we know it.
In California, Antifa took down the Ulysses S. Grant statue.
That's right.
And he's the one that won the Civil War for Abraham Lincoln.
In San Francisco.
You would think that he'd be the guy, but I guess they must have found, maybe he had a hangnail or something like that they used to take him down as an excuse.
Good point, Coleman. In San Francisco, a statue of Teddy Roosevelt. Our statue of Ulysses S. Grant is gone. This is incredible. There is a segment of society that just wants to erase all history. And they want to start over?
I don't know if now is if it's erasing history as much as just taking down any statue of somebody that did something bad. So basically they just want to take down every statue because you can, unless it's a fictional character, you know, there's not much, you know, not many people who lived a life without sinning at least once in their lives. I mean, the Washington Monument, like, I'm quite sure you could find something wrong with all four people whose faces are depicted on that. They're going to spray, they're going to get rid of those too? Mount Rushmore.
You're talking about Mount Rushmore?
Yeah.
Well, the Washington Monument may go.
Yeah.
Didn't George Washington, didn't he own slaves?
Yeah.
I and some of these people did so... Look at Andrew Jackson here in New Orleans. They're going after him in Jackson Square. They did a lot of good, but because at one time they owned slaves, now just erase them from history? I'm not a fan of that. We need to learn from history, not erase it. The Mark Twain books, Huckleberry Finn. I mean, and there are other books now that are. I just saw.
Dunno.
No, Atticus Finch.
Ah, I gotcha.
The book that became a fantastic movie, Gregory Peck played him. They want to get rid of that. They want to take that book out. They just want to erase all of history, and because there's something in there that they don't like, even though Atticus Finch in that book, even though he did great to try to say racism is bad. Look, what we're seeing now in our country is something that we've never seen. They want to erase it all.
They want to erase anything offensive, whether it's a book, movies, statues, imagery, everything that has something with a buzzword in it. They just want to get rid of.
It's
cancel culture.
No, I don't think we've ever seen anything. I don't think we've ever seen anything like this before in our country's history.
And the worst part is, it seems like they're succeeding. Like they're getting away with it. Like people are actually taking down posters and billboards and statues and movies and getting rid of music.
To Kill a Mockingbird is the other book that I was thinking of. They want to get rid of To Kill a Mockingbird, that book by Harper Lee, from the South here, saying how bad racism is. They want to get rid of that book. And again, Huckleberry Finn by Mark Twain, they want to take that book out of the schools instead of learning, because he used the N-word, and that's how some people spoke back then. But that's, they just, I mean, To Kill a Mockingbird, that was a perfect example of someone who was fighting racism. They want to take that book out of schools now because they don't like it. We've never seen anything like this, and we'll see what happens. But Gandhi, statues of Gandhi. I mean, he's the definition of a peaceful protester. And they want to. We've never seen anything like this before. You know, people have talked about it, and we've heard some people, but we've never seen such a mounted attempt to just erase so much of our history. And again, look, nobody's perfect. And if there are things you don't like, we can learn from the history, but to just erase it like that, don't agree with that at all. Coming up on the show, a guitar was just sold at auction, and it's the most money anyone has ever paid for a guitar. And the guy wasn't even that great of a guitarist, and the guitar isn't even that great of a guitar. It's not like David Gilmour from Pink Floyd and his black Fender Stratocaster. We'll give you all the details coming up here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. So Motley Crue, they postponed their massive stadium tour for a year. And even though it wasn't coming here, it was supposed to be the biggest tour, the biggest rock tour of 2020. They've moved it to 2021. It's Motley Crue, Def Leppard, Poison, and Joan Jett and the Blackhearts, and they're literally missing out on millions of dollars per night. When you look at, they were breaking down the money and the tickets sold and how much money they were going to make between them and Def Leppard, especially. They were both making at least $1 million, $2 million a night. A night.
Ching.
And obviously the coronavirus has destroyed the financial livelihood of musicians all over the country. I mean, here in New Orleans, where musicians on a much smaller level, obviously, were able to make enough money to support themselves. But in Motley Crue's case, Nikki Sixx wrote the songs for Motley Crue. So he's the richest member of Motley Crue. Now, the other guys made money as well, but they didn't make nearly the money in their careers as Nikki Sixx did. So those other guys were looking forward to going out and making that kind of money. I mean, have you seen Vince Neil lately? Vince Neil got so fat. And he could barely sing anymore. He'd go out as Vince Neil and play clubs and casinos in Mississippi and such. But if you've seen any video from that, they renamed him Vince Neil because he got so fat that he could barely breathe and he could barely, literally, he could barely sing the songs. He would sing like one out of every three or four words. So he had to get himself in shape. If people were paying big money to go see him sing in the stadium, and from what I understand, he was losing lots of weight. He's going to get another year to continue to lose the weight. But I mean, again, if people are paying big money to go see Motley Crue, they want to see. Really doesn't matter how he looks, but it matters how he sounds. He's got to be able to sing the songs, sing all the words, all the lyrics to the songs. He wasn't able to do that for the last few years. Again, if you've seen any highlights of him on YouTube or whatever, he's so out of shape that he could literally only sing one out of every four or five words to every song. And if people are paying big money to go see that, he had to get that taken care of. So, again, we wish him all the best of luck, and now we're going to have to wait another year for that big 80s stadium tour. Here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. Good morning. It's the John Osterlund Morning Show. So we're seeing a bunch of more coronavirus cases as the company, as the United States of America is starting to reopen again. We knew this was going to happen. We knew this was gonna come because the states are testing more people. And if you test more people, you're going to get more coronavirus cases. LSU's football team, more than 30 players have got put into quarantine because they tested positive for coronavirus. And again, what's going to happen? They'll be sick for 3 or 4 days and then they'll be fine. That's what happens with most people that get the coronavirus. In Texas, in the state of Texas, they started reopening bars and such, but 12 bars in the state of Texas had their alcohol permits suspended for violating the coronavirus health protocols. And these are bars that are in Houston, in Dallas, in Austin, in Fort Worth, and out in El Paso as well. And the Texas Alcohol Beverage Commission suspended 12 of their liquor licenses, 12 bars liquor licenses, because there wasn't enough social distancing. I guess they didn't see as many masks. That is a slippery slope. I mean, what happened with the Texas hair salon owner, that woman who said, look, you can't keep me shut down. I have employees. I have children. We have to feed our families. Remember, they took her and they put her in prison, but then all of a sudden the Supreme Court in Texas said, you got to get that woman out of prison.
Yeah.
Again, this is, in my opinion, it's not even a slippery slope. This can't stand. They don't have the right to go in and take the liquor licenses away from these bars. I mean, it's just like here in the state of Louisiana, here in the city of New Orleans. I've said this before on the show, and I'll say it again. They asked us to help flatten the curb by staying home and by not opening our businesses. They asked us. They can't make us do that. That's against the Constitution. They cannot make us do that. They could ask us, and we could say, okay, we'll help you flatten the curb. We've done that. Now it's time to open up. And in Texas, they cannot go, just like they could not go and take that woman who owned the hair salon and throw her in prison.
Right.
They can't. They could ask her, but she can say no. They can't make her. It's against the Constitution of the United States. It's against the First Amendment. So here now in Texas, there are 12 bars who have had their liquor licenses suspended, and they've been shut down again. They cannot do that. The government cannot do that. They can ask us. We can say okay, but they cannot. Just like here in Louisiana. If all of a sudden people went out, bar owners went out, business owners went out and opened up their businesses, the state and the city of the state, whether it's the state of Louisiana or the city of New Orleans, they can't go around and shut us down. They think they can, but they can't. Again, they can ask us to shut down. They cannot make us shut down.
Now, to be clear, these were bars that did not serve food, right?
Because once I don't know what's going on in Texas, Coleman. I have no idea why their 12 liquor licenses were suspended. They may very well serve food. They were suspended because there wasn't social distancing, and they didn't notice enough people wearing masks.
But that's the point. Let's say there were bars that did serve food. So you take the liquor license away, but they're still allowed to open and serve food?
No, not in Texas, Coleman, because that's not why they were shut down. That's not why the liquor licenses were suspended. They were suspended because people weren't standing 6 feet apart from each other, and there weren't enough people wearing masks.
I understand that part. So
even if people, they were serving food, it doesn't matter if they weren't social distancing or wearing masks. The commission in Texas went in, and they took their liquor licenses away, and that's how they make their money. That's how they make the majority of their money, so they shut them down. And again, they cannot do that. They can ask. They cannot make.
All right.
And anybody who reopens and they end up getting shut down like that, it's going to cost the bar owner, the restaurant owners money. It's going to cost them money to go to court. But there's no way any of this stuff holds up in a court of law, because everything the government is doing is against the Constitution of the United States. So, it's happening again in Texas, and we're going to see this summer, and you're going to see the news freak out like they've been freaking out from day one and scaring people, saying there's more coronavirus, there's more coronavirus, but expect more because they're testing more, and that's all. But what we just saw in Texas here, again, this is against the Constitution of the United States for governments to go in and shut these businesses down. Coming up on the show, we got to get to this story about a guitar just sold at auction, and by far, it is the most money anyone ever paid for a guitar. And it's something because the guy wasn't even a great guitar player, and the guitar wasn't even that great. Stay tuned for that coming up here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only, classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only, classic rock station. I just read yesterday that former actress Lindsay Lohan seen hanging around with the wrong crowd again. Yesterday, she spent Father's Day with her father on Bayou 95.7. New Orleans only, classic rock station.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Selling a little or a lot?
Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching.
Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
IU 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Good morning. John Osterlund here with you. And over the weekend, there was an auction for a guitar. And someone paid $6 million for the guitar.
Cha-ching!
Breaking the record of the most money ever paid for a guitar. That record, we talked about it. It was only a few months ago. Within the last year, Pink Floyd's guitar player, David Gilmour, sold a bunch of his guitars. He sold a bunch of his stuff at auction. And his black Fender Stratocaster, the Black Strat, sold for $4 million. And that was the most money anyone had ever paid for a guitar until this past weekend. And that Black Strat, I mean, you listen to the guitar solos in some of the best Pink Floyd songs, Comfortably Numb, and Money and Time. That Black Strat by David Gilmour, that guitar is the one that was used on those classic, legendary, historic songs. Great songs. $4 million that went for. Well, this past weekend, Kurt Cobain's guitar, the one that he used on the MTV Unplugged, just sold for $6 million. So it beat Gilmour's guitar by $2 million. Wow. And what's so interesting about that is that Kurt Cobain, and he would be the first one to tell you, he wasn't even that great of a guitar player. I mean, he wasn't even in David Gilmour's league when it came to being a guitar player. And the guitar that sold, that guitar that he used on that performance was a 1959 Martin D18E. Kind of a combination of an acoustic guitar and an electric guitar as well. But that guitar just sold for $6 million. And it just shows you the cultural impact of Kurt Cobain and his band Nirvana. I mean, Kurt Cobain wasn't even nearly as good of a guitar player as the other bands that came out of Seattle's guitar players, like Alice in Chains. Jerry Cantrell is a much better guitar player than Kurt Cobain. Soundgarden's Kim Thayil is a much better guitar player than Kurt Cobain. But the impact of Kurt Cobain and his band Nirvana was so immense, that's why that guitar sold for so much.
Any info on the buyer? Because I'm assuming he was a Kurt Cobain fan for him to spend that kind of money on that guitar. It wasn't just that he was a rock historian. He probably loved Kurt Cobain.
Absolutely, Coleman. The guy who bought the guitar for $6 million was the founder of Rode Microphones. His name's Peter Friedman. And so he obviously had the extra coin to spend on that. I mean, it must be nice that, A, have $6 million.
I would assume so,
but
yes.
Not only having $6 million, but having $6 million to spend on something like this. And evidently, he said he's gonna take it around. He's gonna take it around the world for different people that are into Nirvana, into Kurt Cobain, into rock and roll. He's gonna show that to those people. But
isn't that gonna devalue what you're bringing around? People get to touch it. I thought you put something like that, like a case in your man cave or something like that, and have it locked up with a retina scan to get in.
Well, it. You know, if you think $6 million is a lot of money to spend on a guitar, it did come with the case.
Ah, that makes sense.
To put it in. So he's gonna
he has all the wires and everything to go with.
He's gonna travel around with the guitar in its case. And you know, there were rumors going around that it cost $6 million and there were no strings attached. But no, the strings did actually come with it. But that guitar that he used in the 1993 performance that Nirvana had on MTV Unplugged, which is, if not the best, one of the best MTV Unplugged performances ever. And that was just a few months before he died, before he killed himself. Or as some people think, that his wife had something to do with his death. And people were wondering, where did the $6 million go to? Who owned that guitar? The story goes, their daughter, because he was married to Courtney Love, that skank, but their daughter, Frances Bean Cobain, owned that guitar and gave it to either a boyfriend or someone she married, but they're now divorced. And that guy was holding on to that guitar. But I think the daughter got it back, and I think she's splitting the money with the mother, with Courtney Love. So I think that's where that's going. I know it went to court that Frances Bean, the daughter, Frances Bean Cobain, had that guitar, but gave it to the guy that she was doing sex with. And that guy held on to it for a while, and then it went through court, and I believe she got it back. But how about that? And I mean, it just makes you wonder. You think of all the other great guitar players who were much better guitar players than Kurt Cobain. I mean, guys like Jimi Hendrix and Eric Clapton and Jeff Beck. You know, you start talking about some of the greatest guitar players in the world, but I don't know if any of their guitars would sell for $6 million. Because even though they were fantastic guitar players, did they have the cultural impact of Kurt Cobain and Nirvana? I mean, they changed Nirvana. Because he led them and he wrote all the songs. He changed not only music, the way people listened to it, but the way people dressed, the way it was a cultural shock and a cultural swift when Nirvana hit it big. You know, we talked about a year ago that dirty green cardigan sweater he wore during that MTV Unplugged performance. That just sold for almost $400,000. And I think the thing had cigarette holes in it, burns in it from, and it stunk. But that sold for almost $400,000, and well, the guitar just went for $6 million. Incredible.
I seen a band at Tipitina's that I once spent $17 on their T-shirt. That's the most I've ever spent on anything.
And if you want to hear more about that or see that story, we've got it for you now. It's on our website at Bayou957.com. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Billy Squire there, you know, when he was really big, you know who else was really big? Cyndi Lauper. I brought that up because today's her birthday. She's still going. Happy birthday, Cyndi Lauper. Like, she's getting old like all of us. Her latest song is called Girls Just Want to Have Soup. Happy birthday to her. Here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. Good morning. It's the John Osterlund Morning Show. Earlier this morning, and by the way, If you only listen to our show for a little while, if you're on your way to work or if you're just running somewhere, the podcasts of our show are always available. They go up right after our show's over in the morning on our website at bayou957.com. That's our podcast, and it's a quick listen, and we talk about all kinds of different stuff. Our show starts at 5:30 in the morning, and this morning I was telling you how the complete numbers still haven't come in from this weekend, what happened up in Chicago. Not a lot of people talk about it. But as of right now, 99 people got shot in the city of Chicago this weekend. The deaths are up to at least 12. Thank God a lot of these people, a lot of the shooters can't shoot straight. But 99 people were shot over the weekend in Chicago. And again, I'm bringing this up because that's one of the cities where they're talking about defunding the police and lessening the police presence. I mean, imagine if there weren't as many police or they're not spending as much money on police there. I mean, it would only get worse, you would think. How would it get better? How would those numbers decrease if you decreased the amount of money you spent on the police in Chicago? I mean, those numbers are startling. And, you know, I didn't see that on any national broadcast. I saw that for one of the local newspapers there, the Chicago Sun-Times. And I can't stress this enough. Look. You know, what happened in Minneapolis with that officer killing George Floyd was awful. It was horrific. It was unspeakable. And the world watched it because most people now have video recorders in their pockets and everything's on video. That was awful. But most cops are good. You know, there's rotten apples in every line of work. And we have some here on radio, too. I've worked in this business most of my life. And I wish things could be perfect. I wish you could say, well, the police are everybody who's a cop is perfect. But it's just not like that. There's going to be some rotten apples everywhere. But we take care of those rotten apples. But the majority of cops in this country, they're good. When you talk about police in America every year have 350 million to 500 million interactions with people. And you can count the number of unarmed people who are killed by police officers on a couple of hands. Out of 35 million to 50 million encounters, it's not only less than 1%, it's less than 0.5%. Where cops kill unarmed people. It's literally 0.001%, but we always hear about the bad ones. And did you see over the weekend up in Minnesota? Because I know at least two, if not the other three former Minneapolis, Minnesota cops who were there standing around the cop that actually killed George Floyd, you know, that cop, the cop that actually killed George Floyd, he won't get bond. He's going to stay in prison until this trial comes up for a long, long time. But I know two of the other cops, I don't know if the third one yet has gotten out on bond, but I know two of the cops in Minneapolis who were standing there doing nothing. They have already bonded out of jail until their trial comes up. And you know what's interesting about that, and we've mentioned this once before on the show, two of those cops had just started their careers as police officers. They were on the job less than a week. And they were standing there and they were arrested as well. Well, two of them have bonded out. One of them was in the store up there, went to the store to buy groceries this weekend. And there were people there that weren't happy to see him.
What's your name?
Oh, yeah, that's me.
It is you. Mm-hmm. So you're out of prison.
Yes.
And you're comfortably shopping in Cub Foods as if you didn't do anything.
I wouldn't call it comfortably. I'd just say getting necessities or helping.
I don't think you should have that right. I don't even think you should be out on bail.
I can understand.
I mean, how does it feel?
sorry you feel that way.
No, you're not sorry. Like, you're literally outside here comfortably as if you didn't kill that man. You don't have the right to be here.
I'll get my stuff paid for.
No, we don't want you to get your stuff. We want you to be locked up.
And that's one of the three other cops who were standing there and doing nothing while George Floyd was being killed. He's bonded out of prison, and he was trying to go to the grocery store, and he's being followed around, and they're telling him, you don't even have the right to be here.
Dude, they recognized him instantly. He, like, the woman said she saw him, and he Googled the name just to make sure that she was not tripping that it was actually him, and just started following him around with the camera, saying, like, we don't want you in the store. She was trying to get other people around, like, hey, this is that guy. So she was trying to incite a riot almost.
Yeah, well, the way our justice system works, I mean, he didn't do anything illegal. I mean, he was bonded out, and he was going to the grocery store, and then because everybody's got video recorders in their mm-hmm. pockets, ran right up to him, and that video has gone viral. And the guy even said, look, I'm just here to get necessities. I'm not comfortable.
He just had Oreos and milk. He literally just had milk and cookies in his hand. And he was just trying to get his milk and cookies to go on his way. But, you know, right now is high emotion. He can't go anywhere right now.
Boy, oh, boy. These are some times we're living in. Hey, coming up on the show, I've got this incredible story about something that happened back in the 1970s. And something incredible that happened in the 1970s. Out in the state of Oregon, and now it's back in the news again. And wait, we're gonna revisit this. It's incredible. All I'll say is it has to do with a whale and explosives. But it's an incredible story, and it's back in the news, and we'll tell you why. Coming up here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. The family of Tom Petty, some of his family members, they served the President of the United States a cease and desist on Saturday night because at his rally in Tulsa, Oklahoma, he used this song. And they said, you don't have permission to do that. So they said, stop using the song. No. I'm Bayou 95.7.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously. But shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella is the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Bayou 95.7. New Orleans' only classic rock station. Good morning. It's the John Osterlund Morning Show. And it's nice to think about when times were a little bit more simple than they are right now. And I have a story that, well, literally and figuratively blew me away. I just read how a town in Oregon is renaming a park after a whale that it blew up 50 years ago. There was a massive whale that washed up onto a beach out in Oregon. And they didn't know what to do with it. It was so big, they didn't know, what do we do? How do we get rid of this thing? So they decided... And this happened in 1970. They decided to blow it up. And when they blew it up, the whale was so big that one piece of the whale, when it was falling out of the sky, landed on top of a car and it crushed it. When these giant pieces of this giant whale were falling to the ground, people were literally running for their lives.
The flag drops, the thing goes off.
And they touched that sucker off, and let me tell you, that thing went up and it was the biggest mushroom cloud you ever seen. And it was red and white and black, and it was nothing but guts and blood and gunk. So everybody all of a sudden start realizing that, oh my God, here it comes in this mist.
We were covered, we were permeated with redness and the smell. And this stuff starts hitting the ground. Boom, 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 boom. And all of a sudden you realize, my God, I could be killed by whale blubber here.
Now that was a little before my time, but this happened in 1970. And the reason why I'm talking about it right now is because at the end of last week, the town there in Oregon has named a park after that whale that the state blew up 50 years ago. The park is now called Exploding Whale Memorial Park.
Wait, I thought they was going to name it after the whale, like they gave the whale a name before they blew it up, and it like, and then named the park after the whale. But you're saying they named it Exploding Whale.
Not Memorial Park.
That's good.
Coleman, they didn't have a name for the whale. What do you think? Here's a massive dead whale that just washed up on the shore. What do you think? What's its name? What do you think? They're going to check it for, do an identification check on it?
I'm waiting to hear like Betty Whale Park or something like that. They named it Exploding Whale. That's genius.
No, this is in Florence, Oregon. And they just renamed the park Exploding Whale Memorial Park. And if you've never seen that the video of that whale being blown up, we've got it for you. It's on our website at bayou957.com. Check it out when you get a second. It's incredible. And so that park opened last week, and it took its name from the massive rotting sperm whale that state officials in Oregon blew up. They dynamited it in 1970 after it was determined there was no safe way to remove it. That was the safest way to remove it, and people were running for their lives because giant, giant pieces of this massive whale falling to the ground. It was raining.
Whale guts and blood and gore.
And there's one large piece that landed on the roof of a car, and it flattened the car. It destroyed the car.
The state paid them back for that too. They gave them the regal value of the car back, the blue book value.
Well, they should have. I mean, you know, we all tell our insurance companies some crazy stories about how, you know, we need some money from them because our car got messed up. Imagine being on the phone that day. Well,
that's not how it works. That's not how any of this works.
When the insurance agent says, "Well, why are you calling us? Why do you need money from us? What happened to your car?" Well, part of a giant, massive dead whale that they just blew up landed on my car, and it destroyed it. Okay, yeah, we'll get that money right out to you.
That's what we should start doing. Instead of naming places and parks and things after people, we should name it after what happened there for it to be memorialized.
Yeah, when the whale washed up there on the banks of the river, it was too big to bury. And it started to rot. It turned into a public health risk because the stench and they had no idea. What do we do with it? Okay, well, they came up with an idea. Let's blow the damn thing up.
It must have been a bad whale because not even crows coming to get the carcasses and stuff like that. Like nothing was trying to eat it.
They said animals couldn't do anything with it.
Wow.
Like other animals that would feast on that, you would think, hey, look at all this blubber. And then they announced it on the news. They were going to blow it up, so a lot of people showed up
of course they
to watch
did.
It, and they brought some beers, and they were like, hey, this is a good time. But all of a sudden, the good time, the humor of it, suddenly gave way to a run for survival after they blew the thing up. And was coming, it was raining. All, run for your lives!
Imagine getting hit by the eyeball or something like that.
Yeah, they said the remaining chunks were of size that no respectable seagull would attempt to tackle. But imagine having a massive whale like that wash up and there's no other animal, nothing would even go near it. And like I said, after a while, and then it started smelling and it became a health risk. And then when they blew it up, it became a health risk because people had to run for their lives. I said, if you haven't seen the video, we have it for you. It's on our website at bayou957.com. It's incredible. Watching a massive whale, dead whale, being blown up like that. Hey, coming up on our show, we've got the dumbest thing I read all morning. And no, the dumbest thing isn't the fact that the park in Oregon is now named Exploding Whale Memorial Park. That's the, boy, like I said, isn't it great to hear a story when times were simpler? Like, what do we do with this massive dead whale? Well, let's blow the damn thing up.
Well, once we start being able to cross state lines, man, we can go to Exploding Whale Memorial Park. That's on my bucket list.
How about that? And coming up on our show, again, it's the dumbest thing I read all morning here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only, classic rock station. Yeah, Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only, classic rock station. Around 20 years ago, when I was on the radio in Boston, I used to have bands come in and play my show all the time. And I wanted to play a song for you from that. One day, the singer and the guitar player from Stone Temple Pilots came in. Scott Weiland, obviously when he was still alive, and Dean DeLeo. And they played a whole set. And here's one of the songs they played on that morning. Remember, there was a morning, and his voice sounded incredible. Here's Stone Temple Pilots from my show way back then here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only, classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Good morning. It's the John Osterlin Morning Show. Time for us now to tell you the dumbest thing I read all morning. Colorado man arrested for operating drug lab where he made healthy berry meth.
Say what?
This is what happened. Police arrested a guy in Colorado after discovering an unusual methamphetamine lab in his garage. Instead of the run-of-the-mill meth, the man claimed to be making a concoction which he told police was a healthy blend of Asahi berries and methamphetamine.
You idiot.
There were actually Asahi berries that he would put in the meth so it would be healthier. You know, don't worry about your teeth rotting and falling out and your skin getting all those meth marks on it.
It is an antioxidant, so maybe he had a point.
49-year-old Craig Rogers.
Great young man.
He was arrested following a traffic stop by police officers who had been surveilling his address. Before the arrest, local authorities received a tip about a possible meth lab in his garage on his property there in Colorado. And the tip also included several photographs of the meth lab.
Oh, they didn't just snitch. They super snitched. They surveilled, took pictures, then snitched, huh?
Yeah, Coleman. So wow. The cops, after receiving the pictures, they surveyed his home, and then they went in and they made their arrest, and they noticed there was something else besides the methamphetamine and everything it takes to make the methamphetamine. There were Asahi berries there. And they asked him why he had the Asahi berries. He said, I put them in the meth to make the meth healthier.
I'm on meth.
Wow, I wonder if it added flavor. I've never, you know, smoked meth or snorted meth or shot meth myself. But I wonder if this helped with the flavor of the meth as well as making it, quote unquote, healthier.
It's kind of disappointing because it seems like it was in this experimental stage and nobody actually had a chance to try it out to see whether it was healthy or not, because the snitch dried rather too soon before he can, like, you know, actually put it in the market and we can get like a test results or some guinea pigs to see if it actually was healthy meth.
And if you're wondering what Asahi berries are, it's a deep purple like the band. It's a deep purple colored fruit commonly associated with a superfood smoothie, more so than methamphetamine. How about that? Let's see if I can find some Asahi berries around here.
It'll probably be easier to find meth than Asahi berries around here.
Well, anyways, the Colorado man who was arrested for operating a methamphetamine lab in his garage where he added Asahi berries, to which he told the police officers to make the meth healthy. That's the dumbest thing I read all morning. Here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. I still can't believe the Minnesota schools have banned a couple of books. Huckleberry Finn by Mark Twain. That's been in the news for a few years because of the use of the N-word. Some people spoke back then. But they banned To Kill a Mockingbird in the state of Minnesota. They banned that book. That book and that movie, it's anti-racism. It shows you how bad racists are. Yet because it used a racial slur, they're banning it in the state of Minnesota. To Kill a Mockingbird has been banned. That's the dumbest thing that I've ever seen, let alone the dumbest thing I've seen this morning or this week. Incredible. Hey, do me a favor. I know if you listen to this show and this station, I know that things don't offend you. And sure, should we be offended by certain things? Absolutely. But the things that are offending many people in America today make me want to run through a wall. Please don't be offended so easily. I mean, we do have something called the freedom of speech, and we should learn from history. This is incredible. Oh, it's our commercial free ride right now. Here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.